Welcome back to another episode of the DAT Fitness Business Podcast. Tom Blackman with Dan Smith. Hello, Dan. How are you today?
I'm good. Very good today. Feel energized.
You actually been able to get some sleep recently with little Dan running around?
Yeah. We tried a new thing last night. Normally I'm up at the 2, 3 a.m. one. And then last night I got up and Ashley was like, I need to do this one because she needed to breastfeed. And I was like, oh, cool. I'll do the later one. And then so he didn't get back up till like 5, which is, I normally get up 5:30, so it's good.
All right, excellent
win.
so you're bright and bushy today, won't be falling asleep on the mic, so that's good.
I do remember was that last episode? One of them was really bad.
Yeah.
Feel all right today.
Fighting it at the end. Oh. So today we're doing reel talk, and we're going to discuss everything to do with reels, aren't we, on Instagram, which also is relevant to shorts on YouTube and whatever things are called on TikToks. TikTok's just reels, isn't it, or shorts or whatever.
Yeah, reels on Facebook though as well at the moment. They're pretty crazy at the time of filming this, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that. I started posting more on my personal profile on the reels there, and they're getting a lot because they go into the main feed now, I've noticed. So there's more exposure, some more potential there.
Potentially. Yeah, definitely seeing that. I don't know if you do this. I don't know if you've got, if not, have a look at it, but changing your Facebook personal profile to a creator profile, and then using the reels function. It's some of the coaches is doing some crazy things with like adding 5, 6, 7,000 followers in a few days. It's just amazing.
Really? Yeah. Okay. I will take that on board. Thank you for the tip there.
That's all right.
I'll give you 20p for every 1,000 followers I get.
That's fine. I'll just be happy to see it going.
So, I suppose we should caveat here that neither Dan or I are certified experts in reels, although there does seem to be a lot of certified experts in reels on Instagram touting their certified reel stuff at the moment. But what do you think about that, Dan? Certified reel people?
Well, I was saying to you before this, like, you just find that, like, if you go back a few years, they weren't even a thing. So, and then all of a sudden you've got like, all right, this is this type of reel. This way is how you should do this one. This is what you should do on this one. And I get like people will find these things out, but then that's something that's potentially worked for them that might not then work for someone else. So I think majority of people are winging it to an extent, which we all are, but like there's winging it that way as well. And then you have got the other side of that where you'll just get hounded daily by people going, would you like me to create some free short form content for you with some captions like Hormozy? And just like that, and that's not you're not creating there, you're just putting captions on my reel. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's because presumably you follow Alex Hormozy on there.
Yeah,
on Instagram. Yeah, I do as well, and on YouTube. And yeah, I mean the captions, he uses loads of different stuff. And the way he does reels, there's a lot of different ways he does things there. So there's not like, oh, this is a Hormozy thing. It's just the captions are like in different colors and stuff. That's what people are doing, isn't it?
So why is he being credited with basically the invention of like portrait style content? Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, that's been happening for years. And now people are like, oh, yeah, do you want to be like Hormozy? And I'm like, not really, to be honest. It's not my style. I don't really... I don't really find it that interesting. But I think it's been overdone now. That's what I'm probably getting at.
Yeah, I do think. I mean, to be fair, it looks nice, like the way the captions are done and everything else. And when you watch his stuff, it's entertaining. But it's entertaining because it's him doing it, not because he's put some template in. And obviously, if you had some really boring guy talking very monotone and having flashy subtitles coming in all the way through, that wouldn't be interesting, even though it had flashy titles and images and PNGs dropping in and this, that, the other. It would still be boring content, yes?
Yeah. It would just be really weird, wouldn't it? Right. maybe it would work. I would try out, just chat really monotone and just have loads of sound effects going off.
Do a reel about like train timetables or something and just like, explosion, boom. The 33 from Wigan is coming in at 2 o'clock.
Steve, who does some of the video editing and he's involved with what we do, there was a job interview on a job opportunity for Hormozy. Like, he basically, I don't know much about how he does this stuff, but I get, this is what Steve said anyway. He would put out saying, I'm looking for someone to edit my next batch of content. And then we just get people apply to do like a demonstration or a free version to see what it was like. And all he would do is just throw a load of files at them and say, edit this, see what they come up with. And he said he applied for it and he got like all the stuff sent through. And he said, what you see on, obviously it's all edited, polished, finished version, but when you get handed the actual raw footage, it's just him like fucking up, making mistakes, like he's there, on his phone or with his notes, reading it, and then he's carrying on, like just like anyone else would be. So it makes you feel, he said it made him feel really good about content.
Yeah. It is how you splice it together. I mean, I've been using, I said, Final Cut Pro for a little while now. And, you know, just, I'm not an expert. I'm not a pro with Final Cut Pro, which should be obvious for my content. However, it is getting better every time I do it. And I use Descript as well to add the captions and stuff. The more I use that those apps, the better I'm getting at, like, jump cutting stuff together and, you know, dropping things in and adding sound effects and all this sort of stuff. And I think, anyway, it makes my reels more entertaining. And certainly feedback from people who watched it saying, oh, that was good. I like, you know, like that sort of thing. And much better than when I look back at my earlier content, which is just so bad, like me just talking to a camera. But the content's not changed that much. It's just...
But that's how it should be, isn't it? And that's a big point to pull across when we talk about reels and how to, well, different types of reels and different types of content. But the main thing is, if you're not going to start doing that, then you've got nothing to get better at doing. So you're only going to improve. Like, if it goes the other way, you're probably doing something really, really wrong. But
yeah, it's worse over time.
You should ultimately be able to look back and go, I've actually improved doing this. And that's your skills. Maybe the content is a little bit better, but mainly it's going to be the way that you get to grips with using different tools and softwares. But yeah, I 100% agree with that. Looking back at old content, even I reshared something at the weekend that was relevant to someone, a question or a thing someone had sent me. And I look back at that and it wasn't even that long ago. And I was like, oh, this is shit. Like, and this, but it made me think, actually, yeah, you've improved doing stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's got to be tantamount, isn't it? Is that people often say, oh, my content's crap or my content's shit or whatever else. Well, yeah, it will be at the beginning. You know, you didn't become a brilliant coach, you know, the first time you coached a client. I mean, you know, I look back at some of the first coaching like programs I gave out like what, 10 years ago when I was starting out with like physique coaching. I'm like, oh God, that, although it was, you know, it got the job done, but I was like, you know, I wouldn't, if I was advising someone now, I'd be like, well, we've got to change this. But I improved over time.
Yeah, definitely. But I think there's some, maybe not strategies, are they, what do you call them, ways of filming different pieces of content for reels to make them more effective, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. And we can go into that today, can't we, after we waffled enough, I think.
Sorry. Yeah, that's me trying to bring it back.
Bringing back the tangent. Okay, so let's talk about that then. So different ways of filming reels to make them more entertaining. I used to always try and get my reels in one take. This was years ago. And I got very good at talking clearly about the subject very quickly. However, I there was always something I missed out. And even though I got my reel off in one take, so that was very consistent and it looked, you know, okay, because it looked as though I knew what I was talking about, you know, in one take, that I would always miss something. So recently, I started doing a different technique where I would not so much have a script, but I have points I want to talk about. And like you're saying with the Hormozy thing, he would talk for a bit, stop, look at his notes, come back, talk a bit more, go to the notes, come back, talk a bit more. And I found that's been a lot better in terms of getting what I want to say out into the reel, and has not affected how the reel looks. In fact, it looks better because you can jump cut it in. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I've done that. I don't know why. It's the same thing. In my head, it's the same thing, right? So now I script it. So I'll script what parts I'm going to say, and then I'll film that part, and then push it together. Whereas what I did try out was similar. I would just have the camera rolling and start talking about whatever that point is, then stop, then actually go, okay, what am I talking about next? And then go again, and then edit that together. And I don't know, for some reason, I find that having it so that I've got the script there and the bits I'm going to talk, for me anyway, helps me to keep it really clear and concise and really short. Not really short on purpose, well, sometimes on purpose, but I don't then, because if I start talking, like sometimes I can maybe go on a tangent, something will like waffle, and then I think, actually, I don't know, if I script it out first and I think this is exactly what I'm going to say, I might ad lib a little bit, but that's it, I'm like sorted then. So yeah, I went to that focus of doing it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's something to be said for off the cuff stuff, isn't there? I mean, because quite often I'll do I don't know if you've done this, where I actually know you have done it, because you've done it when you're walking the dog and you just hold your phone and you talk about something, and then you go to a different location, and then you press record, keep talking about the thing, so you can jump cut it in.
Yeah.
But on those ones, I don't tend to script a lot of it. I just talk about around a topic, and then when I go back into it to edit it, I'll pull out the relevant bits.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff I'll, like you said, script right out to be like, I definitely want to say this. So if I'm talking about a very specific thing, which has like real facts in, like 80% of people are this, whatever, I want to make sure I get those facts right. So I'll script those things out. But other stuff we may be talking about more in a more general sense, it's nice to have that, what appears to be a, like you said, an ad lib off the cuff type script, if that's what you refer to it as.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think my older content was more just free flowing. And some of it now is still that, but like you said, mentioned, I would go out with a dog, and that I would use that opportunity because it was one of the opportunities I had to create content. So I was like, right, might as well just use it. And then I would still have a loose bullet point list of what I was talking about. So then what I'd do is I'd film, like you say, on the walk from here to the woods, I'd film one part of it, go into the woods, film another part of it, do something, film another part. And then that way you're almost capturing the journey and that attention of the story, like, okay, well, what's happening next, where's he going to be. I'm trying to do that now more so with the scripts that are shorter, and what I started doing is I'm starting to script in the transitions now. I know that might be a bit too much for people, but I'm really getting into how you can you make like one part of it then flow into another part from a transition point of view. I think it's really, I just find it interesting for me. People probably don't care about that, but I quite like it.
Yeah, I think if there is a situation, like I did one for the gym where it was about making your don't make your coaching seem like work for people. And the whole, I thought I'm going to do this thing. So it started from my house and me shutting the door, getting in the car, not me driving and talking, because, you know, don't do that, because that's, I see so many people doing that and it's like, getting out of the car at the gym and then walking into the gym. And it was all about not making your coaching feel like work. So they're not, and the whole thing about driving was, you know, driving to work, that sort of thing. So it was very, metaphorical or something, yeah, whatever the term is. It was, I was driving to the gym, so it wasn't like driving to work. And that worked pretty well. I didn't script off the transitions, but I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to do one bit here, one bit here, one bit here. But yeah, that would be a perfect example, is that I could just sit there talking about it, but it wouldn't be as impactful as doing those different locations, would it?
Yeah. I think there's definitely merit to having, you know, people's attention spans are like goldfish these days. So having those shorter periods where you are talking about something and it changes something else is going to keep that attention longer, so potentially more of your video gets watched. Okay, you've still got to have a relevant point what you're trying to get across, and you still got to not be, I don't know, boring, but or maybe you can be boring and still it still works, depends on your audience, right? But so there, those things play into it. But then I just find, like we were speaking about earlier, I find that I can't help myself but then go, okay, what can I do to then like tweak this a little bit more? Just purely, it's purely based out of my own enjoyment and curiosity. I started playing around with how I could script it now so that the last word of the sentence would like fall into the first word of the next one, but not be the same word. And I'm starting to play around with those now. Yeah.
That's deep.
Have you ever seen someone do where they all like go, and then don't be a cut, and then it will go, calories are something like this, this, and this.
I like that.
That's really funny.
Don't be, yeah, that's awesome. I like that.
So yeah,
that's going to feature in our clips.
And then thinking of like, how can you say go from here, and then you're filming, and then you turn this way, and then but your next camera angle's coming from here, but you're also turning in, so it looks like you're actually turning to this. Like things like that, I find I'm starting to look into more and start adding in more. I just think it just, it's like I say, generally built off my own interest in it.
But actually that stuff's really interesting because you're enjoying doing that. Yeah. So you're going to put the effort and energy into that. So it's going to come across in the reels. And I think if you enjoy doing a reel, if you enjoy doing content, it does come out in the content.
Yeah.
did you see the one I did the other day about like you're going into the gym and you trip over something and then you fall into it and I ended up in the pancake shop. I had so much, and I had to film that over 3 days because the end, when I was in the pancake shop, we filmed that when I was with Neil having some breakfast. And then we had to film the tripping over the gym stuff like the next day. And then I actually had to film the bit where I fell into my car the day after because I forgot to film it. So that I had to come back to the gym in the same stuff that I wore continuity.
Wearing the same clothes.
But that reel, I mean, it took me 3 days to make it and it's only like 20 seconds or whatever. But that one got a lot of likes, shares, you know, comments and everything else. It did nothing for my coaching. You know, no one joined my coaching because of it. But it showed my character and entertaining and all that sort of stuff. And I enjoyed making it. So it's still one of my, you know, highest viewed reels, I think. But I don't know, you might see this with yours, is that the stuff you really enjoy making, that does come out as the reels that are the most highest performing.
Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. Like, you know, stuff that is probably a little bit more educational, maybe that sometimes does okay. But when you're putting a little bit of a thought process into it and I don't know, you're showing your personality, like you say, that comes across. And then I was finding this with coaches who potentially don't like social media, or they just really don't get on with it and they find it really difficult. Then, you know, you've got to sort of ask yourself that question. Is this something that potentially, I mean, you don't have to create videos, right? You don't have to create reels. So maybe you find something you do enjoy doing and go down that route. But if you're trying to create content and there's a bit of resistance to it, it will always come across in the way it's being seen.
Yeah. And it comes across, especially if you're nervous on camera, but that stuff you can learn over time to be better on camera, to be talking, you know, to people. But I think unless you start doing that, unless you make a determined effort to start getting good at something, you'll always be bad at it.
Yeah. And don't expect it to be, you know, you're not going to solve that in a couple of weeks as well. That's another thing I've seen, like, oh, I've been doing this for a few weeks. Yeah. I looked the other day, it was like, so I've created 3,629 Instagram posts. Like, I've been doing it a couple of weeks. Okay, cool. Come back in a few years.
They did 3,000 posts in 2 weeks. No,
that's me. I was like, I just think there's something to be said to just going out there and testing stuff out and just trying things. That's what I think we forget, because there's so many things going, do this stuff here, do this like 3 second hook here and do this like, you only need to have 7 seconds of video on there and you need to put text on there and you need to have a call to action on here. And like so much stuff. And then there's also people going, you know, buy my course to do this. Here's the right way to set up this. And you're like, cool. So if I do all these things, then I'm going to be that's going to be it then. But you still have to then go in and do that stuff, and you're forgetting that the major ingredient is going to be how you put yourself across in that.
Yeah. Now, you're right, there's a lot of people saying, oh yeah, to make the perfect Instagram reel, you've got to get the hook for the first 3 seconds. Then you've got to think about what you're talking about. You've got to drop this, and you've got to put this content in, and then you've got to add this graphic and make sure you've got subtitles at this font in this size, and they do this, this, and this, and it's Hormozy style, blah, 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 all this long list of stuff. And you go, so, you know, someone who's just starting out, like, oh, fuck, that's a lot of stuff to do just for a 15-second reel. Yeah. And it just is overload, isn't it? It's the overload of information. You must do this if you want your reels to succeed. And yet you've got, you know, someone out there just filming a picture of them cutting bread to music, and it's like 3 million views. Like, what? That guy didn't have a hook. That guy didn't think about dropping. He just cut bread to music. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's 15 million views.
That's it. Just that's the biggest thing. I think, especially with the coaches who come, some of the newer coaches, well, not newer coaches, but people who aren't really, haven't done that before. They've not really created content like that.
Mm.
And I'm just like, just go away. Like, here's a structure. Write a few scripts out, and then just film yourself doing one. We're not going to post it anyway. Just film it and send it over. Mm. Like, we'll have a look at it. And just the very nature of doing that process helps people to overcome that. And actually, it's quite simple then. You don't need to have all this stuff on there.
I've also got a theory that like content creator guru people, they deliberately overcomplicate what needs to be done into reels or this, that, the other. They put all these posts out about how you need this and this and this and this and this. And then if you look, it's like, and I can help you do that by downloading my whatever it is. Yeah. Now, I appreciate people got to make money in business, and a lot of it might be legitimate. But I do think there is a little bit of this. Oh, do you want your reels to skyrocket through the roof? Well, you must do all these things. And I've just about got a little template you can download for $9.97, which will help you to do that. And actually, when you download it, it's actually not far off what Canva gives you almost for free, and you just need to jig it a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, not that I've paid $9.97 for one of those things, but no, I have seen those sorts of things, and they are literally just Canva templates which have just been tweaked. It's really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely see that. I think I've paid for a few things in the past, just like not that expensive, but I've paid for stuff in the past. And because you just think, oh, I see what that's like and whatever, even if it's a bit of research and stuff, and you just think that's stuff that's out there anyway. It's already there. You can just find that on the internet.
Honestly, a lot of the stuff I've there's people who sell like how to use certain apps to edit your videos and stuff like that, but actually all those videos of how to do that thing is actually available for free on the app's website. So I think there's an app called
Video Leap, isn't it?
Yeah, Video Leap, all their things are on the, they have a whole YouTube channel devoted to it. There's another one I use, which was called Kikiri or something for a little while, pretty much the same stuff as Video Leap. They have a full YouTube channel devoted to it. All these apps, because it's in their interest to do it, have their own YouTube channel with how to edit these videos. But then you've got, obviously, I mean, you know, it's up to people what they buy, and it's up to people what they sell. If you're going to buy something from someone without doing your due diligence and looking for the free version, which is available from the app's website, that's your fault. But you know, you don't need to buy these courses. The majority of that information is available out there for free on YouTube. Now, whether those guys have also got their own thing that they're selling as well, which they normally have, which is fine. But a lot of the free stuff is enough to get you started and get you, you know, doing the right thing. You don't need to spend money on that.
I agree. Yeah.
So I had a bit of a rant there. okay. So we're also going to talk about reel templates, because both of us have content creation, like free tools, which anyone can download from our websites or our Instagram. And I think we both have reel scripts, reel tutorials, that sort of thing. And I know we did it when we did the 7-11-4 thing as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
I'll go first if you don't mind.
Yeah, I do mind.
Okay, you go first.
No, you go first.
No, you go first. So the way I script my stuff out is, if you're talking, I basically have like things like, what are you talking about? Or what's the problem? What's the solution? The desires, the three key points you have to make. And it's basically in like an A4 like script, like A4 piece of paper. And people can either print that out and write the stuff in, like you said, script it, or they can use something, an app like Notability, and just do it on their iPad. But like I said, I think it's really important to have that scripted out. And if you've got some sort of organization, like, right, I'm going to talk about that for 10 seconds, that for 10 seconds, that for 10 seconds, whatever, it allows you to like focus your mind into it. Floor's open. How's your script set out?
So we basically use a system that like it formulates like Hive. So H being hook, the start point. So that being like the first important 3 to 4 seconds. And then we've got like a whole bank of different potential options that you could use. And I'll be honest, like the more I'm doing this, the more I do see that as quite important. You get into that world of, okay, not every single thing, because it depends on the piece of content. But if I'm talking to camera, I want to make sure that someone's going to actually listen to the rest of it or watch the rest of it or whatever. So the hook being really important. So we have that there. Then we want to build on that hook a little bit. So we have a little bit of intrigue. So it's almost taking that and then expanding on it a little bit more to get them to keep watching. So it's almost like, I think about it being like the head, the subject line and the subhead almost.
Subheader,
like,
yeah.
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 Then you've got your value, which is like your meat and veg, like the main bulk of it. And that part there, depending on what you're talking about, could be, I mean, the example I've got in the document we use is just 2 bullet points. So it's really short. And then there's the exit, which is a call to action. So then there also in there, and there's an optional but a bit of having like a bit of a softer call to action after the intrigue part. So you have the hook, the intrigue, and then a softer call to action, because potentially at that point there, if someone's listening intently and they're like, actually, yeah, this is really good stuff, and you sell them to, don't forget to save this, or make sure you're following this account for more memes, then like they're more likely to do that, rather than potentially if you then let the thing go on, okay, you're playing the system a little bit, but you might suddenly start waffling off on one and they're like, fuck this, but they might have already taken the action, I don't know. But by doing that, it kept it really short and sharp, concise, quite clear. So you script out each part and then just piece them together when you, because you don't have to film, you have to remember like one line, just film it, record it.
Yeah. I think a little tip when if anybody watches the podcast or listens to it, if you're recording just a single line, so like the line is, you must create a calorie deficit. Yeah. I always find it easier not just to go, you must create a calorie deficit, because what will happen is you're starting from nothing into it. So when you cut it together, it will go like flowing. So instead of going, you must create a calorie deficit, do some preamble before you hit the line. So to lose weight, you must create a calorie deficit. And that way, when you're cutting it, it actually flows a little bit better into it.
That's a good tip. Yeah. Yeah.
Tom's tips. Every day is a tool, a school day.
Yeah. It's like very rare occasions where I've stopped half sentence and I'm like, fuck, I'm not going to do that whole thing again. So doing stuff like that does help.
Yeah. So make sure you don't like do it too fast either. So to lose weight, you must create a calorie deficit. That'll be really difficult to cut in. So make sure you're doing it as controlled. So to lose weight, you must create a calorie deficit. You'll still keep the flow and you'll still be able to cut it nice and easy.
Yeah. In terms of then, that's real simple structure that we've got. Then we'll have options for calls to action, hooks, like I said, and just different. The other side of it is similar to what you mentioned. So you've got like banks of maybe potential ideas, different folders with, you know, some research in there. Maybe you save a few sounds, maybe you save a few reels as well, like just stuff that you see and you think that's quite interesting. And then create your own little banks of research that you can dig into and come up with your own ideas off them, which I do that quite a lot, to be fair.
Yeah. Especially if you've got like you know the 100 problems we talked about before, if you've written out your 100 problems, then there's going to be like certain criteria that a lot of those problems come under.
Yeah.
So I have customer, product, and then delivery. So anything that's like a customer element, as in getting your customers into your ecosystem, that goes into a folder. Anything about product, anything about delivery goes into folders. So if I'm going to talk around about that subject, I've got all the stuff there which I can access quite easily for new ideas if I need to.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that helps massively, because, and also another thing that I do a lot more now is in any of the review feedback we get, and same with checking questions from the coaching side of stuff, is there's specific questions in there around like, what have you found? What things have you potentially found frustrating this week? What things have you found difficult? What would you like more help with? Or what would you like to understand better? And then using those answers to create your content, because that's just been, sometimes you can get in your own head a little bit about, all right, I'm going to create about this because that's a really good topic, or maybe I'm really interested in it. And your clients or people you help, you work with, are telling you this stuff here. You're like, just create that stuff, because that's the stuff that connects loads more.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the what you think people need and actually what they actually need, isn't it?
Yeah.
That framework, that Hive framework you described, is essentially how you would construct things like emails as well, isn't it? Or landing pages even.
Yeah, and you can use it for a lot of stuff. Well, just even if you just script it out, you could probably just create, you could use that as a skeleton for the post or whatever, caption, email. Yeah, definitely.
We did, I was looking at a way to build like, what was it? Decent. I think it was YouTube videos the other day, because I'm looking into doing my YouTube content. And there was a way to build out this thing where you would hook the attention at the beginning. And I come up with like, what the, like you said, like the subheader on that. So you like frame it at the beginning, and then what the frustrations are, what the desires are, so what they're struggling with, what they want to get to. So that would be like the header, the subheader, and what they want to achieve. And then there'd be deliver, which would be in action points, which would be stop doing this, and then action points, do this instead. And then you would construct the video on that. So that's more for longer YouTube content, but it would also, I suppose, if you condense it down, work into reels as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But I think it's important that people come up with a certain, like you said, like a formula to do that right. So whatever the formula they're going to use, they're going to keep applying that to videos, because then if it works, don't do a formula that doesn't work all the time. But if you're having success with it, then try and stick to that formula, because people then know what they're getting with you, rather than having like, worst thing in the world is to have like random TikTok dancing videos in the middle of a load of coaching content. So, it's not really engaging thing. With the audience, is it?
Unless it is your thing, maybe.
Oh yeah, unless you're a coach of TikTok dancing videos, of course, then it would be perfect.
But it's true, though, what you mentioned around people get used to seeing so continuity between your content. So like your background there, people get used to seeing the background. And I'm very conscious of like when I film certain types of content, I'll do it in the same place in here. And then that content becomes instantly recognizable. It's like, oh cool, this is Dan chatting about this thing. But then I'll have other pieces of content using Reels to showcase probably other parts of my personality as well, and use them to create more humorous things. And just because I feel like they're perfect for that. I know not everyone gets this right, and not everyone is into the whole thing of like maybe lip syncing to stuff or using trending sounds and everything. I think you've got to play the game, like just it's there for a reason. Like start using it and have some fun with it. You don't have to do a stupid dance, but you can have fun with it. Like and like we said before, that comes across then. So find out what you're interested in and go, cool, well, how can I spin that a little bit and turn that into something that I'm interested in.
Yeah, because I've seen you do the lip syncing stuff and the trending audio and stuff, and it's always very relevant. It's linked back into the content. So it's all about the like either coaching or mentoring, or it's all linked back into that. Which is, but obviously you've seen other, I've seen other content obviously on internet, which is it's the same type of content, but it's for their niche. So you don't just have to think, oh, well, that's not for me, because that's, you know, I don't really like TikTok dancing stuff, but you could have things where you were walking through the gym pointing to certain things, which would essentially be the TikTok dance video pointing, but it's relevant if you are a gym coach.
Isn't it? Loads of stuff like that. Like, I'm getting served up dad stuff now and
baby stuff.
I don't know how it not even knows, doesn't it? Right. So I'm getting all these little reels and stuff from these pages, and some of them are freaking awesome. They're so funny because they're relatable. And then I'm like, cool, how can I use that to then spin it to what I want to do? So I save a few of them and think, cool, how can I tweak that? And that's just probably one of the bigger parts of content creation for me.
Certainly, especially if you're, because a lot of the coaches I work with are dads. So posting content about, not that I do this, you know, getting off to Dubai for like a weekend bender and then still be managed to be productive is not something they would engage with. But stuff to do with, you know, the troubles of having a child while you're trying to, you know, the kid walking in while you're doing a live call, or, you know, those sorts of things, those are relatable.
Yeah.
And so you can use those, like you said, you can use those in your content if that's what your audience is about. But let's say a lot of my clients are dads, so they're very relatable to the troubles of having not the troubles of having a child, but the challenges of what it presents, which obviously you're now finding out about.
Yeah, my wife sends me, like, she just, I'll get loads of notifications for it now. I've got a load of reels while she sat downstairs sending me reels. But they're really well done as well. And I appreciate, like, different industries and how they create their content. And then you can use that, like, get inspiration from it, because the last thing you want to do is just do another post that's the same as someone else. And don't be afraid to, if you think, oh, this might not be quite right, or it might not be how I should, the experts are saying. I'm like, well, is it you? Is it got your personality? Did you enjoy making it? Like, just test it out. Like, I'm post content sometimes and I think, like, this is a bit, like, I've just sat here and I've made this off the cuff. It's not really relevant to anything specific, but it has got something that people will get because I'm talking about sex bots looking at my story and whatever. And I'm like, when I show that to my wife, she's like, I don't get it. I'm like, well, yeah, because you don't use the stories and that, but the people I'm speaking to online, I know that that's happening to other people, right? It must be. It's not just me.
I don't know what you mean.
So I'm going to make some content about it because I found it funny, but maybe other people didn't. But I got a few, they got quite a lot of interaction. So that's, for me, mate, that's a great sign. Though.
Wait till you hit 40 and then you'll get served a whole load of really cheesy, like, over 40 dad training, like, adverts, and then Viagra the next one down, and then it just serves you up. You're like, yeah, I don't need any of that, thanks. But it is content that could there's a really stupid one going around at the moment. It's like optimal workout for dads, and it's got like a guy dressed as a lion or something with abs, and it's like what? I'm not a lion with abs, mate.
No. Yeah, but that's what I mean. I'm not at that point yet, but I'm still getting that better content and I relate to it. Might not go, I don't know what they sell or whatever, but
you need to follow like the dad and dad says jokes on Instagram. Daily classics there.
No, I don't know. There's one guy, he pops off on my thing quite a bit. An American guy, and he's, I don't know, you probably might have seen him. I'll try and find him next week. Pops up and send him to you. And he says this. He said, my son said to me today this thing, and he goes, no, dummy. And then he actually says what the actual thing is, in a dad joke style. And it's every single piece of content's the same, but it's so funny. I'm gonna have to find it. It's like Dad CEO or something. It's called
Dad CEO. Yeah, it used to be Bat Dad. Did you ever watch Bat Dad?
Yeah.
That was good when it was, I don't know if he's still around, but that was funny when that was around.
Yes. And the other one is that, sorry, I've got off a tangent here. The Alpha, what's he called? Garage Gym Alpha, the Alpha Dad or something. Have you seen him? So he's like, he films himself out in the neighborhood and he'll be like, right, rule number 206 of being a neighborhood.
Is that the one where it's like, cleaning the yard, but he's doing cleans in his yard.
Yeah, and he's like, when he takes the trash out, he makes sure he's like even like cleaning and pressing the bin and stuff, and just so all the neighbors can see him. It's fucking brilliant,
being the alpha dad in the neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Tangent. Starting the mower, one pull, that sort of thing.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay. Anyway, back to reels. Have we missed anything there? We've done different content. We've done. I think we've done everything. Is there anything we've missed there in terms of? Oh, I know what I wanted to bring up was how long should your copy be on a reel? And this is an interesting one because on Instagram, and it's different for each place, isn't it? Because if you put something on TikTok, you only get like 2,200 characters, I think now, which is actually not, that's a sizable amount. But if you look at how people use TikTok, does anybody ever read the captions? You know, TikTok is basically watch, swipe, watch, swipe, watch, swipe. So should you be putting a long caption in there? If you do Facebook Reels, then the caption doesn't show up. You have to really go into it to do it. But on Instagram, it depends where you watch it. If you're watching it in the feed, you do get the copy come up. But if you're watching it on the Reels feed, it doesn't. You have to click on it to see it, don't you? So it's a whole load of different stuff there.
Yeah, I think the caption thing comes up quite a lot. But I found similar to you, like TikTok, I don't really... I can't remember reading a caption on TikTok ever, but Instagram, yeah, I definitely do. But then it's almost like you have to make sure that there's a reason for someone to click into that caption and read it. Maybe you're telling them part of whatever the video is. You have to go into the caption to find out what that is, or for the next part of it.
Yeah, read the caption or whatever. Yeah.
There's like three tips in the video, and then you have the fourth one in the caption, for example, or the bonus one, or whatever it is. So that thing I think quite works quite well when you do that on Reels. On Instagram, on Facebook, the caption on Facebook is just shocking. I wish they would just make it the same as Instagram, because you can't space it out either. It's all squashed together.
Yeah, and also what's annoying on TikTok, and not TikTok, on Facebook, is if someone likes your story and sends you a comment related to the story, it doesn't tell you what story that's from. So if someone comments and says, oh, that was really funny, but you've posted something about your nan dying, followed by a reel or something, it's like, okay, what was funny, my nan dying or the reel? I'm not sure.
Mine does that though, because that used to really annoy me, and I'd be like, sorry, I don't know what this is in relation to. It's like, ha ha ha.
And they don't tell you, they just go ha ha.
But then now it does it now on mine, so I don't know whether it's changed it across. Yeah,
might have updated since, but yeah, that was annoying.
That was, and I was like, sorry, I need you to tell me what this was in reaction to. I just checked 2 days later.
Yeah, so I think the in terms of the caption, like TikTok, I normally just put a header on there, and then the hashtags, because the only time I've ever clicked into a caption on TikTok is if I've seen part one of a video and then I want to find out where part two is. But what's annoying is they don't put here's where part two is, and even if you go on their profile, you can't find part two, which is really annoying. But then if you watch those videos, it's like, you won't believe what happens in part two, and you got part one, it's like, oh okay, I want to see part two now, but you can't find it. It's the most annoying thing in the world.
That's it. Maybe they just haven't done it yet. It's they haven't enough funding. Yeah.
But in YouTube, in shorts, you've got a very small amount of you can go back in and edit the description, but you have to. When you post it on your phone, you can only post like a title, which is like 100 characters, I think. And if you want to actually go in and edit the description, you have to go back into your Creator Studio to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't ever bother with that. And certainly when I've been watching YouTube Shorts, I just look at the title. I've never looked at the what the caption is. So yeah. I think if you are making content which says read the caption, that's going to be Instagram and Facebook, isn't it? Whereas if you cross post over to TikTok or something, then maybe you need to be thinking about what else can you say in the video.
Yeah, I've not paid much attention to captions in TikTok.
No, I mean, I think we said this before, we just cross post into it so that we're everywhere. But I mean, my main focus is Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube as well.
That's it. Nice. Yeah, I think we covered quite a lot.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. I think we're just coming up onto the hour as well, so that's good timing. Great. Okay. Dan, where can people find you to learn more about you?
Dan Strong Collective.
Cool. And for me, it's Tom Blackman. No, it's Tom Blackman Coach on Instagram. That's the best place to find me. Okay, Dan, thanks for your time. See you next week. And thanks for watching, if you are watching this video or listening.